Glad that you are with us today as we continue a series we began last week entitled Jesus Among Many Gods. And what we're doing in this series is we're looking at faith in the Jesus of the Bible in contrast to some other spiritual pursuits and beliefs that are out there. And today we're going to talk about New Age. And to get us thinking in that direction, I want to start with a story. And I've shared this before, but I think this story is going to help us to lead in to what we're going to look at today. So when I was growing up, my brother and I shared a room. And between our two beds, there was a nightstand. And on that nightstand was a lamp. That lamp had a cord that was plugged into the wall. And one day I took a pair of scissors. And back in the day, scissors were all metal. Okay, there was no plastic and no rubber involved. I mean, it was all metal. And I just began to experiment a little bit with the cord. And I pressed a little bit harder and a little harder. And what do you know? All of a sudden, boom, and I was on my back and I looked at the scissors and there were little notches cut out from the electricity, you know, that you know, went through that and also me in that moment. And what was that moment like? I think Forrest Gump said it best, stupid is as stupid does. And it was one of those moments where you learn something, hopefully, and that never did that again. Here's why I share that story. Because we're going to look at an idea and a belief that goes something like this by way of introduction. There is power and energy, spiritually speaking, that is out there in the universe and in things that are around us, things like crystals and rocks and other, you know, inanimate objects around us. And we have the opportunity to tap into that power, that energy, and what it can do is help us to move to a whole new level of being human, to transcend to another dimension, to simply move in the direction that we want to move. There's a little bit of a challenge that comes along with New Age because Believe Whatever You Want is a subtitle of this. It is a very eclectic, very diverse, very open and broad arena of faith. But we're going to try to nail this thing down for us and show the difference that there is in putting our hope and our trust in Jesus. Let's start with some ground rules. We did this last week, but I think it's important for us to remember this. How are we going to do this, not only this week, but each week? We're going to be honest and respectful. Bashing something in someone, I think, has become, you know, sort of a sport in our day, and it's easy to do that, but I think it doesn't help us in any way, shape, or form. So we're going to be respectful. We're also going to be honest. We cannot cover everything in 25, 30 minutes, and so there's a built-in frustration factor with this, and it may leave you with questions. And today, you get the opportunity to ask a question that might be on your mind about today's topic. Don't ask, you know, about football today. I've got some ideas about that too, but that's, you know, for another time. But if you have some questions that relate to what we're going to be talking about, text it to that number. It's going to pop up here and there. In our slides this morning. And at the end of the message, Pastor Mike is going to join me out here and we're going to answer a few questions. We also put a few online during the week as well that we couldn't get to here on Sunday. So let's talk about New Age. What are we talking about? The New Age movement is a spiritual supermarket from which individuals are free to pick and mix those spiritual beliefs and practices which they feel best help them achieve peace of mind or realize their full human potential. That is a definition from somebody who lives in that arena. So this is not somebody opposed to it. It's somebody who advocates for it and helps us understand that it's pretty broad and it involves a lot of different options that are available to them. What are some of the beliefs that are there? There's a power of natural healing and spiritual energy. And again, this idea, it exists out there. We just got to find ways, techniques to tap into it. And once we can do that, that energy, that spirituality will help us move in the direction that would be good and the direction we want to go. Oftentimes, nature is sacred. The idea that God is in everything and everything is God often comes along with that. People have a deeper inner potential to be realized. It needs to be unlocked. It needs to be charged, spiritually speaking. Mysticism, clairvoyance, psychic powers of certain people often helps to unlock that idea is the belief. And there's also a belief in fate found through things like tarot or astrology or the like. And there are many other versions of that idea that there is a direction of fate in which we are going and we can figure that out if we tap into the right source of knowledge and energy. Some themes that come along in the New Age movement, there's a focus on self-improvement. And I would say, you know what, is that a bad thing and a wrong thing? No, I think that's a good thing. I think the challenge and the question around it is, how does that actually happen? What is the best way to do that? Self as the final authority. So at the end of the day, it's up to you. And, you know, maybe you even hold this, you know, saying close to you today. And you know what? I love you. We're going to talk about this here as we go through. It may sound something like this. Well, that's your truth and I have my truth. And we're going to look at something I think that's going to tell us there's a truth that is outside of ourselves that isn't yours or mine. It just is. And we would be better to align ourselves with that. It's a pick and mix approach to spirituality. Again, there's sort of like a buffet table, and we can pick and choose the things that are going to be helpful to us. And there's no objective truth. All truth is subjective. And that's one of those interesting, you know, beliefs to hold on to, because there are so many places in life where we know that's not true. For example, gravity is not open to subjectivity, right? If you get on the roof of this building and you step off the side, gravity is going to happen whether you or I believe in it or not. And so there are some things that are clearly objective, but oftentimes in the spiritual realm, we get to the place of thinking, well, there it's a little bit more hard to define, and so therefore it must be subjective. As a general statement and really a theme, I think, that ties it all together, New Age spirituality, self is at the center. That the spiritual energy and spirituality around me can help me to move to another level and become a different kind of person. But at the end of the day, it's about me. Here's something we've said along the way at Washington Heights, and I, you know, think we just need to say it again because I think it's really important. Not everything that's spiritual is holy. When you look at the life of Jesus when he was here, there were some spiritual things playing out, and some of them were great and awesome. It was the work of God. And then there were some things that were not great. And God has an enemy, an adversary. And so there are spiritual realities that are not great, and they're not helpful, and they're not taking us in the direction that God has for us. And so not everything that is spiritual is holy. And so how do we know the kind of spiritual life into which God has invited us? So what I want to do is we're going to parachute into a letter in the New Testament. It's really serving as sort of the template for this whole series. It's a letter called Galatians. And there was the Apostle Paul who went into a region that we call modern day Turkey. Back in the day, it was called Galatia. And he started some churches just like this. And in those churches, he came and he presented the Jesus of the Bible, and he invited people to put hope and trust in Jesus. He came to rescue us. He came to take our sin upon himself. It is grace. It is Jesus plus nothing, and you can't add anything. You can't subtract anything from who Jesus is. It is all about him. And then after about 2 years, Paul went off to another region and started more churches. Well, there were some teachers who came in behind him and they said, well, Paul didn't tell you the whole story. Grace is a good place to start and Jesus is a good place to start. But now here's all the other things that you need to do in order to make yourself right with God. And Paul hears about this and writes this letter that we call Galatians, 6 short chapters. And I might recommend to you as we go through this series, you might want to spend some time during the week reading that book. It's a quick, easy read. But this whole idea of different beliefs that are out there is nothing new. And so Paul is writing to reaffirm what he shared with them the first time, that it is about Jesus and nothing else, and the kind of life into which he's invited us. Galatians, and I've highlighted a bit of a theme for you here as we go through this, but I say walk by the Spirit, and walk is kind of a euphemism that means journey. It's a day-by-day thing. It's something that you do on a regular basis, walk by the Spirit. And we might say, well, see, isn't that, you know, sounding an awful lot like New Age spirituality, that there is a spiritual energy that's out there? This is different. Do you notice a definite article, right? It's not saying some inanimate force that's out there. It's talking about something very specific. And notice the capital S on Spirit. When you see the capital S in the Bible, it's talking about God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a person. There's a way in the Greek language to articulate the here, and it could be masculine, it could be feminine, it could be neuter. And if it was this impersonal force that was out there, it would be neuter, but it's not. because the Holy Spirit is a person. And what that begins to clue us into is that a relationship with God is personal. That it's a relationship between people like us and God the Holy Spirit that is a person. And so it's not just about some inanimate objects. It's not about God's force that's out there. That's not what the Holy Spirit is. It's a person. And we've been invited to walk by the Spirit, to be on this journey together with the Spirit. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. What is the desires of the flesh? Whenever the Bible talks about the flesh, it's talking about our human nature, who we are in and of ourselves. It's what we were born with. It's what we bring into this world. It is our nature. For the desires of the flesh, who we are against the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. When we put our trust in Jesus, and we trust Him to make us right with God, to forgive us, and to invite us into a relationship with God. Here's what the Bible says, not here, but in another place, that God, the Holy Spirit, comes and takes up residence inside of us. And it's personal. The person of God, the Holy Spirit, now is made available inside the heart, the life, the spirit of a person who takes that step. So the energy is not out there. By putting trust in Jesus, there is a power that takes up residence inside of us. But it is personal. It is relational. And what this is telling us is, you know who we are in and of ourselves? We are natural born sinners. And we are at odds with the Spirit. I heard a story about a missionary who went to one of the Native American reservations, not sure which one, and he was talking to a couple of guys who had taken that step of faith and trust, putting their trust in Jesus, and one of them said, yeah, you know, now it feels like there's these two dogs inside of my soul that are at odds with each other. They're fighting each other. And this missionary asked, you know, the guy who was saying that, well, which dog wins? And the answer is brilliant. He said, the one that I feed the most. And boy, that's really good. Because what this tells us is that there can be this battle. And there are times when people take that step of faith and trust. And then I've heard things like this. Then my life got hard because all of a sudden it was like there was this conflict in my soul. And the things that I wanted to do, I don't want to do anymore. And something's telling me that's not right anymore. But it's a struggle and a battle. I think that's exactly what Paul's talking about here. That there's this tug of war, this battle inside of the human soul. Who we are in and of ourselves is going to go in one direction. When God, the Holy Spirit, takes up residence, now there is this battle. And that is a good sign. The Apostle Paul, writing in another place, says this, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Right, so we have an option here. We have some choices that we can make about what we're going to focus on. And I think here, Paul clues us in to one of the great opportunities that we have to overcome some of the things in our lives that we would like to set aside. Things that we would like not to be a part of our life. How do we do that? And maybe we think, well, here's how you do that. You just get up every day and you make sure that you set your will on that. And you say, I'm not going to do that, not going to do that, not going to do that. I think Paul's taking us a different direction. He's saying, set your focus, your attention on the Spirit. Feed that part of that tug of war that has come into your life, but don't focus on the things that you want to get rid of. Focus on the God who is taking you in a different direction, the one who has taken up residence in your life. Now, back in Galatians, now the works of the flesh are evident. He says they're plain to see. Here's our natural self. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies. Have you found yourself on the list yet? Because if you haven't, here's where Paul covers, all the rest of the things. And things like these. This is like in a job description where it says other duties as assigned. That means just be ready for anything. And Paul's saying, if you're not here, you're here, okay? Because there are other things that you are, and those things are evident. That's our natural self in and of itself. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So that's us, right? That's our natural self. But the fruit of the Spirit. Here's what God the Holy Spirit seeks to produce in the heart and life of somebody. It's not something we tap into out there, but it is a spiritual power that takes up residence in the heart and life of somebody who's put trust in Jesus. And then God the Holy Spirit begins to write things on our hearts and our souls and into our very lives. Things like what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who, notice this, it's personal, belong to Christ Jesus, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, it's a journey, a personal journey. Let us also walk by the Spirit. Let's continue to be in that personal relationship with Him. And look in the direction of the God who wants to take us here and away from what we discover in and of ourselves. Biblical Christianity, relationship is at the center. That there is a God who is relational. And when we think about this, you know, we might think, okay, so are you saying that, you know, some spiritual pursuits, you know, that it's just not about that? Paul was not saying, hey, you know what, become religious, because that's what those teachers who came in behind him were saying. Jesus is good, grace is good. Now, here are all the things you need to do in order to work your way to God. Paul says, no, it's Jesus plus nothing. But on the other side of it, it's not the absence of religious devotion. Because what Paul is saying is there is a relationship. There is this spiritual life, and we need to set our focus on the God who has taken up residence in the heart and life of the person who's taken that step of faith and trust. And God is leading us somewhere, but it's relational. It plays out as we journey together with the God who has come to our rescue. Here's a couple examples of people who are part of the New Age movement and just a bit of a sampler of some things that are said there. Life will give you, this Eckhart Tolle, by the way, who was made famous by Oprah Winfrey back in the day, life will give you whatever experience is most helpful for the evolution of your consciousness. Now, I realize this statement is out of context here, but if you just take that at face value, and you're in an abusive situation, what does that mean? And so I just want to say, that's not right, and that's not true. Because what this is telling us is that whatever we encounter, how do you know this experience is what you need? Because this is the experience you are having at the moment. And ultimately, it's for your good. The Bible doesn't know anything about that. The Bible tells us that there are things that are good and there are things that are evil. And for example, as one example, abuse is evil and not good. Can God bring good things out of evil things? Yes, He can, but it doesn't change the reality that there are things that are good and there are things that are evil. But remember, it's all about self at center, moving to a whole different place, and so even whatever you experience. Here's another example from something called The Secret, which was really big a few years ago, and the idea in The Secret was whatever you put out into the universe is what will ultimately come back to you. And so it had things like this. If you can think about what you want in your mind and make that your dominant thought, you will bring it into your life. And so there's this idea, again, there's something out there, there's this power, this energy, and ultimately it will bring you back what you put out there, for good or for bad. One more example, Deepak Chopra, whatever relationships you have attracted in your life at this moment, the law of attraction, very much from The Secret, are precisely the ones that you will need in your life at this moment. And again, I would say to somebody who's in an abusive situation, that's not true. That's not what you need. There is a hidden meaning behind all events, and this hidden meaning is serving your own evolution. Self at the center, moving toward a whole new level of existence. New Age spiritualism serves me. And what is out there and what I can tap into will ultimately benefit me and take me in another direction. Biblical Christianity serves Jesus and involves surrender. And sometimes we might think that Jesus is leading us in the same kind of direction. Let me share with you just one example of the kind of things that Jesus said. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And we may say, so what does that mean? Let me put it to you this way. Let me paraphrase it for you a little bit. If you make your life all about you, and the highest and ultimate thing is yourself, you're gonna miss it. You're gonna miss the purpose and the reason for which you have been placed here. But if you give your life away, that's when you discover your life. That is about serving. It's about surrender. It is not about making yourself the ultimate thing and living for yourself at the end of the day. When we do that, we miss the very purpose for which we are here. And you may say, well, you know, where does that idea even come from? Why would Jesus say something like that? I believe it's because he knew what that was like. You know, when we talk about who God is, the very character, the very nature of God is relational. We got a question last week that we didn't get to, and I asked Pastor Jimmy to put on a card. This is what happens when you get in your 50s and you're nearsighted and you have your contacts and you need it really large. And so here's the question from last week. What was God up to for the bazillions of centuries leading up to the creation? Anybody know how many zeros there are in a bazillion? Because I don't know what that number is. Thank you for making something up. Here's the answer, I think, to that question, is that God is a Trinitarian God. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And God is eternal. There's one God, three persons. There's one and three, there's three and one. It can't be exclusively one or the other. And so in the very nature of God is this relational aspect. And what was God doing for all those bazillions of years? Experiencing perfect community, mutual love and deference for one another, honoring and serving one another is what God was experiencing. And that's why Jesus would say something like this about the meaning and the purpose of life, that it isn't ultimately about self. It is about surrender. It is about serving. And God is not a God who's into magic in order to move us forward. God is into trust that draws us closer to who he is and the purpose for which we were made. But I think there's a caution that we need to think about. And that is, even if we believe, you know, in the God of the Bible, there's a possibility that we can turn surrender even into serving self and maybe take some New Age ideas, lay them over our faith or even over the Bible in ways that make it ultimately about us. And I'm going to give an example, and this may offend some people here because maybe you have this verse tattooed on your body somewhere or stitched into a pillow in your house somewhere. I love you, okay? And here is that verse. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And there are some translations that say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that would be accurate because that's who the hymn is talking about. And it's possible to come to this verse and to think, yeah, you know what? That's right. He strengthens me. And so, you know what? I'm going to run that triathlon, or I'm going to start that business, or whatever it is that we have thought that we need to do in our lives. And that's right. God is with me, and I can do anything if God is with me. Is that what this verse is talking about? There are football players, and you'll see they'll have this verse on their eye black there. Some have t-shirts, you know, with it, and all kinds of different ways in which this is represented. And it's a great verse. And we say, are you saying that something in the Bible isn't true? No, it's true. But here's where sometimes we can get a little bit lost, is that we take something completely out of its context and bring ourselves to it, and maybe what we do is we miss the meaning. A couple really fancy words I'm going to give you. These are words that you learn in seminary. And here's one of them. It's called exegesis. It's a Greek word, and it means from the text. And it has this idea that when we come to the Bible,
We don't just bring ourselves and say, hey, that's really cool. I wonder, you know, what I can do with that. We try to understand, what does it mean? And what did it mean to the people who first read these words? And what is it that God is trying to reveal about either himself or us, about life together with him? There's another word. It sounds similar, but it's very different. It's called eisegesis. And that means into the text. And that is when we bring our own ideas and maybe our own selves and kind of take something from the Bible and make it about us. It is possible that we would look at a verse like this and we would make it about our ambition, what I want to do. You know what the very next verse is? Let me put it up here for you. Yet, Apostle Paul writing, it was kind of you to share in my trouble. Paul is writing these words from a Roman prison cell. And what he's talking about in this context is not ambition. He's talking about contentment, even in hard moments. And that there is the opportunity to find strength in the hard moments of life. Now, I'm not against you running that triathlon. Go for it. But let's not lay something over the top that God has not given to us. Let's come to what God has revealed to us, but come on his terms. What was he trying to communicate to us? And so, I think what we're talking about at the end of the day is this, that spiritual life thrives in surrender and not self. At the center of New Age beliefs is self. At the center of a relationship with God is surrender to the God who loves you. You might say, well, you're saying that people don't matter. Absolutely, you matter. And you matter to God. So much so that Jesus left heaven, set foot in this broken world, sacrificed his life on a cross to take our sin upon himself. Should have been my hit. He stood in my place. He stood in your place. He rose again from the dead to conquer sin and death, that the Bible says is our worst enemy. And that's why hope is found together with him. There's not a spiritual energy out there that we can manipulate to improve us. There is a God who has come to our rescue, that when we take a step of faith and trust, and this is why we invite people to take that step, because when we do, God, the Holy Spirit takes up residence, and there is a power available to us that we cannot find on our own. You matter to God. But it isn't ultimately about you or me. You know, it's been about 15 years ago now, there was a really popular book that was produced, and maybe you've read it. It's called The Purpose-Driven Life. The first line of that book is a line that you probably wouldn't think would help to sell a lot of books, and yet it sold millions of copies. Here's the first line. It's not about you. And then the rest of the book is, well, what is it all about? And it's that we were made for a relationship with God, but it's not self. It's a life of surrender and serving. And where does that come from? A God who has experienced that for all eternity. And why did God even create things? It was to share what God had enjoyed for so long. Community and love and serving and surrender. And we've been invited to that. It's personal. Would you bow your heads together with me as I pray? So God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your great love for us. And thank you for revealing to us what we could not discover on our own. Thank you for showing us the heart, the nature, the character of our great God. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are and for all that you have accomplished for us. And help us to know that our hope is in you and in you alone. So help us, God, to know how we can walk with the Spirit in a way that leads us closer to the heart of God. And we ask and pray that in Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, Pastor Mike is going to come up here and join me on the platform. And again, we're going to take a couple questions now that came in during the service, and then Also this week on our social media, we'll shoot a video there and put out some other questions and things. And thank you for being involved and engaged in this whole process here. So.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch the questions that come in. Really good questions that we want to answer. More important than the questions, though, I have Pastor Jimmy's phone. So I think we need to take a couple pictures of our beautiful people here and just blow up his phone with pictures. Maybe
how about
a couple selfies.
Yeah.
Here we go.
What's up?
Nailed it. All right, first question. This is a good one. Can New Age and Christian beliefs coexist with each other? And kind of meshing that with another question that came in, New Age is about finding peace. So what's wrong with that? Like, how do we answer that?
Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with finding peace. Again, I think the question comes down to how do you do that? And what does peace look like? Jesus said things like this, that there's a peace that passes all understanding, and it's found in him. I think at the end of the day, New Age and faith in Jesus alone are not the same thing. And so I think there's, you know, some places where there might be overlap, like what is it we're pursuing? What is it that we desire? But ultimately, at the end of the day, the question comes down to how do we get there? And I think what the Bible reveals to us, and, you know, if you're new to Washington Heights, we just have a really high view of the Bible, that it is a reliable revelation that God has given us so that we can know him, us, and how to live a life that honors God. And so as we look at that and we look at New Age beliefs, they are not the same, that they are very different. One, I think, again, is about self at the end of the day. The other is about surrendering ultimately into a relationship with Jesus. But it's also a day-by-day thing. And the spiritual power that is available to us is not an impersonal energy that's out there. It is a very personal Holy Spirit that takes up residence in us.
Yeah, you know, and a common question that's been coming in on that spirituality part of it is I can understand that there's a spiritual part of who God is, or even with a New Age belief, but if I don't feel it, how do I know I'm feeling God? If I don't feel that kind of inside spirituality-ness, how do I know I'm connecting with God?
Wow. I think our emotions aren't always telling us the truth. You know, it depends, where we might be in our emotional state at the moment. But I think the ultimate test is taking the step of faith that we've been invited into. I also think our emotions tend to follow our commitments. You know, and I've said this to sometimes husbands and wives who are struggling and not feeling the commitment to each other, is don't look for the feeling, live out your commitment. And our emotions are more like the caboose on the train, and our commitments are more like the engine on the train. And I think when it comes to a relationship with God, it begins just understanding, what have we been invited into? Have I taken that step?
And I think a component of that is we sometimes want to put God in a box and expect a certain type of feeling from him, right? When we say, I'm going to connect with God, or I haven't felt God, I think a lot of times we place certain expectations on how we think God should be connecting with us. And when that doesn't happen, we feel like God has let us down.
Yeah. And I think even from Jesus' own example, right, in the New Testament, Jesus struggled with some things in his humanity, right? He's fully God, fully human. And there were, you know, when he was praying in a garden about the cross that he knew was in his future there, I mean, he was sweating blood and even asking God if there was a way to avoid that. Now, there wasn't, and so he did. But I think even as we look at Jesus, being with God doesn't always have happy moments with it. And there's actually a hymn that was written, an old song, and I forget the rest of the hymn, but there's a refrain that I used to chuckle at way back when I was a kid. And I had a drug problem when I was a kid. I was drugged to church all the time, and was part of a church that sang those songs. And there was a refrain that always said, "Now I am happy all the day." And I don't know what hymn that is, but I remember that, and I used to think, I don't know what you're trying, but that must be some really good stuff, because that's just not the way life is here. So I think we need to just be cautious with our feelings. And sometimes we may feel far from God, but I guarantee you this, he hasn't gone anywhere. You know, maybe I've gone somewhere, but he has not left us or forsaken us.
You know, another good question that came in, we talked a lot about the New Age belief is kind of inward pointed, right? It's all about self. And it says, if self is not at the center, where do we draw the line? How do we know if we're doing too much for ourselves? You know, they said, you know, I enjoy going on vacation or I enjoy shopping, but where do we draw the line between I'm doing this for myself or like what is too much? What's the line? Mm.
Yeah, wow. And how much time do we have? That's a challenging question, but you know, I think those other things like vacation and things like that, there are so many principles in the Bible that we need to understand. You know, there's more going on. For instance, this principle of the Sabbath, right, of taking a rest. So taking vacations, that's a good thing. And I think that's even a thing that, you know, helps us to recharge and re-energize ourselves. So that's not opposed to that. I think when we're talking about self, we're talking about at the end of the day, is it ultimately about myself? Mm-hmm. Or is the ultimate thing in my life about a God that I've been invited to follow, to surrender, and to serve? And that's something that I think is not, you know, said in a couple sentences here.
Right.
But I think that is the ultimate measure. Because I think everything in the New Age movement, that spirituality, is a way for me to access power that benefits me at the end of the day. I don't think it calls us ultimately to a life of surrender, but what is the ultimate thing?
Yeah. And I think when we find ourselves placing more priority over those things than our relationship with God, I think that's where the line is. I think, you know, God is about two things, love him and love others. And when the things that we desire for ourselves start getting in the way of those and sort of breaking down, when our relationships are hindered, when our relationship with God is hindered because of the selfish things that we crave, I think that's kind of where that line is when we've crossed it.
Yeah, and maybe I'm just speaking to the guys here. Ladies, you can decide this for yourself if this fits your narrative. But I wonder if every guy has ever thought, you know, if everything revolved around me and everybody did what I said, man, would life be awesome. And I think in some sense we know that ain't true, yeah. Right? Because if we are at the center of those things, things begin to become apart. And a lot of those relationships are fractured, right? There's a purpose that is bigger and better than ourselves being at the highest point of our lives.
That's great.